In the name of God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. It is said that everyone has two, maybe three sermons to preach, and the themes in today's reading encapsulate two of mine. Firstly, God meets us in the unexpected through people and experiences that may be surprising. And I had such an experience this week through an unexpected meeting with a 93-year-old woman named Socorro. She is the grandmother of our cousin, whom we met as they passed through London a few days ago. Socorro likes to tell a good story and enjoyed telling us the various adventures of her life. And she has led a very interesting and inspiring life. Socorro is Mexican-American and has lived in the California desert for most of her 93 years. One of 24 children and the daughter of a migrant farm worker, she left school at the age of 10 to help care for her many brothers and sisters. She also raised five children of her own, was a welder during the war, a machinist, a cook, and a school bus driver. Socorro had never traveled to Europe and was looking forward to a trip of a lifetime. And so we wished her well, grateful to have had this meeting. The next day, however, we learned that Socorro had a fall in her hotel room. And to make a long story short, my husband and I ended up caring for her for the next few days. Socorro had four broken ribs and a punctured lung. And to the doctor's disbelief, she was walking about the same day. She, in fact, informed the doctor and anyone who would listen that there was no need for her to stay in hospital, that there were many people worse off than her that needed their care. At one point during our visit, Socorro said to me, "Whenever difficult things happen, I bring God into it straight away." Now, I loved this statement because it showed both Socorro's determination and her faith. She refused to let her situation get her down, for she believed that God was with her in all of life, even through the disappointments. Over the next few days, as I spent quite a bit of time with Socorro, she impressed me as a type of prophet. A prophet who, like Jesus, was not always welcome in her hometown. At a time when prejudice towards Mexican Americans has hit a new level in the United States, Socorro and her strength of faith in the face of suffering is a witness to the welcoming and inclusive love of God. And she was certainly a witness to me. In today's reading from the Gospel of Mark, Jesus is visiting his hometown, and his welcome is not altogether enthusiastic. His family and friends had heard the rumors. Jesus, the carpenter's son who lived down the road, had become a healer, an important teacher. Some even called him a prophet sent by God. Now, this was a bit too much for his family and friends to take. They had heard the stories growing up about his unusual birth, but they didn't really believe them. After all, they knew what Jesus was like as a child, as a teenager, and they saw him grow up into a young man. I think we can imagine the scene, maybe even relate to what they were feeling. And it is not altogether negative, for this glimpse into the community life serves to humanize Jesus. We find that he is close to other people, that he engages with those who know him well. He has a place, a roots, a location where the neighbors know him by name. And it is from here that Jesus is sent out. After Jesus leaves his home, he calls each of his disciples to leave all that is familiar and sends them out to proclaim the good news. And in her own way, this is what Socorro has done. Her stories, in ways she could not possibly know, serve as a catalyst for good news. They are a sign of the witness of the light and power of God. Turn for a moment to our reading from 2 Corinthians. It contains a verse that has inspired my second sermon, God meets us in our weakness, and it is in and through our weakness where God's power is revealed. But what does this mean? How is power connected to weakness? Well, to help us understand, we need to explore a little of what St. Paul might mean. And today's passage begins with a rather strange story. Paul knew someone who was caught up into the third heaven. He doesn't know if this person was in body or spirit, but only God knows. Now, what is Paul talking about? What is a third heaven? It all seems a bit strange. Paul seems to be speaking of a particular religious experience, and I think he is doing this for a very particular reason. He is towards the end of his letter to the Corinthians, and the minds of his listeners may have begun to wander. When I was training for ministry, our tutor gave us a bit of advice on preaching. He said, tell a joke or make a strong statement about 3/4 of the way through a sermon to get people's attention. And I think Paul is doing something similar here. He tells an outrageous story to get our attention. And once he has, he pushes the whole topic aside in favor of a far less spectacular religious experience of suffering with Christ and depending on God's grace in the midst of our weakness. So what then does Paul mean by weakness? Well, firstly, I don't believe he's saying it is wrong to be strong and capable, for St. Paul was certainly this himself. And yet, he clearly recognizes his own weakness, and he connects this with the life of Jesus. Put simply, weakness is the emptying of control, the self-sacrifice when God gave up his power to fully embrace our humanity. Weakness is a state of being we all share before God. It is recognizing our need for God. And when we do, when we see how God meets us just as we are, as we embrace our weakness, as we recognize the strength of God, it changes the way we see the world. We can relax. We don't have to be perfect. We can't save the world. But God can save the world. This week, Archbishop Justin and two of his daughters spoke about their experience with disability and mental illness in the life of the church. His daughter Ellie, who has a learning disability, spoke of her feelings of isolation and judgment in her church community. His daughter Caroline spoke candidly of her struggle with mental illness and how it is vastly misunderstood in the church. They both called for greater listening, for wider inclusion, and for welcome in the church. And I especially appreciated the way the Archbishop listened to and responded to his daughters in addressing their issues in relation to his theology and his spiritual practice. He mentioned that he does not pray for healing for his daughters, for their disability is part of who they are, part of who they are as created and valued by God. Now this brings me to what may be my third sermon and what certainly forms the heart of our vision here at St. Peter's. We are all loved, accepted, and celebrated by God just as we are. And as God has welcomed us, we are to welcome one another, especially those most in need of God's welcome. Amen.